This evening, I just want to reflect on some of the things that we've been talking about. What I'm going to be sharing with you tonight, I had shared with you not too long ago. I'm not certain how long back this was, but I don't think it is more than a month or two since I visited this passage with you. But it's so related to what we're talking about this morning. And at the end of the service this morning, the dear sister and brother came to me and said, "Oh, the word today confirmed what God spoke to us at the beginning of the year from Isaiah 54. And I said, "Yes, this is because this is the year of our fruitfulness." Barrenness many times can be looked at as something that's just related to bearing children. But barrenness is much more than that. It goes beyond just bearing children. For we do know that we can say of land, "This is a barren land. This is a barren place." So places can be barren. People can be barren. But what we must think about when we think about barrenness is this, that barrenness is not the same thing as being unfruitful. They are two different things. When somebody is unfruitful, they have the capacity to have children, but they are not able to because they do not take the child to term. When you say somebody is barren, you are basically saying of the person that the capacity to give birth is not there. Something about them is out of place, and therefore, the possibility of childbirth is denied them. Think about that for a moment. Barrenness, unfruitfulness. The result is the same, the end result is the same. But one has the scent of impossibility. The unfruitful one, hit and miss. Maybe one day, voila, it happens. Barren, no such luck, if you excuse me to use that word. No such thing is happening for them. Why? The capacity is not there. And barrenness is not just related to the woman. A man can be barren. It's a word that relates to both. To say that a man is barren, you use the word sterile. He's sterile, meaning he doesn't have the seed. The seed doesn't have power. There's not enough ability to produce what is needed. My quest, and I believe it is God's quest, is not just to address unfruitfulness. Because when you are unfruitful, it simply means that you are not operating at full capacity. You can see a tree that's supposed to produce a bumper crop and didn't produce as well, and you say, this was not a fruitful season. That's unfruitful. Something happened, but it did not come to pass as it should. The fruit is there, but it does not come to maturity. So you can tell somebody and a season and say, it is an unfruitful season. Doesn't necessarily mean that there was no fruit. It just means that based on what should be produced, that which should have produced at 100% is functioning at 20%. It's unfruitful. Barren, zero. Sterile. And the word is akar. And God says to us in Isaiah 54, it says, sing. This is the note. Sing. This is what is going to change your situation. Thou that does not bear, thou that does not carry, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. You never had the possibility of travailing with child. You know, that tells you now, to be unfruitful, you travailed with child, your child died, you were unfruitful. You miscarried and you went through the travail of miscarriage, you were unfruitful. Barren, nothing. I don't know what areas of your life or my life or this church that has experienced the desolation of barrenness. For the word of God says, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the barren wife, said the Lord. You see, desolate, desolate, desolate. Desolate means that at one point there was a possibility, but destruction came. The Lord tells a parable about a field that was planted. When it was time of harvest, they went to look, and behold, with the wheat were tares. And Jesus said, an evil person had done this. Barrenness can be caused by an act, whether it is directly from us or from somebody else. A woman that continues to abort her children can come to a place of barrenness. That is desolation. Now she cannot give birth anymore. Her womb is damaged and destroyed because of whatever it is that happened, and now she's barren. She cannot. She cannot anymore. It's done. But God is saying, listen, I don't care how bad this story is. I am the God who demonstrated that I have power over all things. I died and I rose again from the dead. And I assure you that no matter how barren you are, I can cause seed to come forth out of you. There will be production in this house. Somebody shout hallelujah. So he says, sing, celebrate. Stop walking around with a gloomy face and thinking it is not possible. The doctor said it is not possible. I've had so many situations and now it is the end of the road for me. And God says, no, 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 no. When man says it's the end, I say it's the beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Single barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. Let everybody know that thou that didst not travail with child. Something has happened. More are the children of the desolate. So, Pastor, are you talking to me? I said, yes. I don't care how the desolation took place, whether it happened with your own hands or by the activities of somebody else. God is saying, children are coming. Fruitfulness is here. Somebody shout hallelujah. I don't care how bad this story is. I don't care how long it has been. God says the days of barrenness are over. The days of fruitfulness are here. The days of birthing are here. Praise the Lord. Now, the Lord just told me when he gave me this word for us. It was when we did the new year in September. God is good. He says, enlarge the place of thy tent. And the Lord told us that this is the year of enlargement. Enlarge the place of your tent. Remove the limits. Remove the limitations that you've placed because of what you have experienced in the past. The past is past because it is past. This is a new day. This is a new beginning. And God says, watch, see. Won't you know it? I am going to do a new thing. I will do a new thing. Forget about the past. Whatever failures you had in the past, no matter how many times you've tried in the past and nothing worked, you knocked at that door and nothing opened up. No matter how many times you've gone to that bank and that loan was not given, no matter how many times you've gone to that office and employment was not given, promotion was not given, it's a new day, it's a new season, and a new sheriff is in town. God is God, and the days of barrenness are over. Somebody shout hallelujah. Enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. And let them? I thought I was the one who's supposed to enlarge the place of my tent. And he says, no. While you're enlarging the place of your tent, I'm going to bring you help. Because what I want to do is bigger than what you can handle. Katabashaka. What I want to do is bigger than what you can handle. You cannot do this by yourself. And so I'm going to bring people who are going to stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. And it's not just going to be one place. It is habitations. You did not have a child, but now you are going to have children. And they are going to be everywhere. Because the glory of the Lord is doing a new thing. Somebody shout hallelujah. No limits, because God is an extraordinary God. He's not limited to what man says and what man will do and what man can do. He is God, and he reigns supreme, and he will do extraordinary things in these extraordinary days that he has marked out for his glory. We give you praise, Most High God. Spare not. Say, don't spare. Build it, and they will come. The children are coming. The children are coming. The children are coming. The growth is coming. The blessings are pouring in. Somebody shout hallelujah. It says, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed, thy seed, you mean me, that used to be barren, I'm going to have seed? Yes. It says, thy seed. shall inherit the Gentiles, the ungodly, the people who do not know God, and make desolate cities to be inhabited. That's a fresh anointing, saints. A fresh anointing that cannot be limited by the spirit of impossibilities. I saw a picture many years ago, and I'm sure if you Google it, you'll find that a tree growing out of a rock. It was a seed. A seed that had water penetrate to where it was, and the seed began the process of germination, and it split the rock. A little seed anointed with the right resources shatters the rock. The anointing of God on your life, on my life, on this house shall shatter every rock, break every chain, shatter every limitation. For the day of the Lord is here. The day of visitation is here. And God is declaring over us, over this house, over your house, over my house, over my family, over your family, over your finances, over my finances, over everything that belongs to us, that there is an anointing that breaks, it breaks, it shatters everything that is contrary. Somebody shout hallelujah. What devil can stop what God wants to do? Maladabashekelebrakatamaha. That devil was never created. Fear not. First key is sing. Begin singing. Begin celebration. And then the second key is fear not. Don't be ashamed. Why is he saying fear not? He says, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. What is this crazy statement about? Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. He's not talking about the shame of barrenness. He's talking about the shame of you building stuff and say, what are you guys doing over there? We are building. You're building what? For who? For what? You're married, right? Yeah. And you don't have children. No, the Lord said, sing. You barren. For the desolate one is going to have more children than the married. What you are doing does not make any sense, man. It doesn't have to make sense to anybody. It just has to make sense to God. That's all it needs to do. That God sees it and says that's the right thing. So God says, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. If you build it, they come in. If you operate in the wisdom and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and begin to testify of the goodness of God in your life, when they ask you, how are you doing? You say, I'm blessed and highly favored. But I look at you, your shoes have holes in them. Your pants have holes in them. Your suit has holes in them. What do you mean you're blessed and highly favored? I see your car, it is smoking all of the town. It is killing all the mosquitoes. The city doesn't need anybody to come. Fuck the place. You are doing all of it by yourself with your junky car over here. And you're saying you're blessed and highly favored. Yes, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm blessed and highly favored. I say God has blessed me. Oh, This doesn't make any sense. It doesn't need to make sense to you. If I say I'm blessed and highly favored because God says I'm blessed and highly favored, and I will sing that I'm blessed and highly favored, I'll shout it from the rooftop, I will shout it in the valley and from the hills, everywhere I go, I'm going to say it, I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. I am blessed and I'm growing and increasing on every side. Oh, glory be to God. The devil's a liar. That devil that stood in your way to hinder you shall now know the fierceness of the living God, because the God you serve carries a big hammer. Yes. Yes. Bang! You will not be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. The reproach of your widowhood? Oh, wait a minute. This is not good. Widowhood. You mean this woman was married, now is known by everybody as barren? She's a widow? Who wants to know a certified barren woman? Marry a certified married woman whose husband died. That is double trouble. Double trouble. Number one, you're barren. Number two, your husband that you're married to is dead. Who is going to marry you? You are used up. Who's going to marry you? Your life has been a life of prostitution. Your life has been a life of drugs and alcoholism. Your life has been this total mess. Who is going to attach themselves to a loser? You're a loser, woman. But God says, no, 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 no. She's not a loser. I am her God, and I am going to marry her. I'm going to be the husband. You don't want her, I want her. When people reject you, God will pick you up. When people count you out, God will count you in. When people say, this is a nobody, God will say, this is a somebody. Because God says, for thy maker is thine husband. If they say no to you, I'm saying yes to you. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Shall he be called? Yes. You know why? Because I'm going to do a mighty miracle through you that is going to shock everybody, that they are going to begin to say, shh, you be God, you now be man, oh. You be God, you now be man, oh. Alpha, Omega, you be God, you be God, you be God, oh. You now be man, oh. You are God, you are not a man. You are God, you are not a man. You are Alpha, Omega. And you are God, you are God, you are God, oh, you are not a man. When man fails, God begins. It's like a man drowning. When you try to save them while they're drowning, and still have all the power and the energy, they might end up drowning you with them. But when they've lost all the strength, God. And basically all we need to do is rest in the goodness of God and stop trying so hard about everything. You've tried already. You've done everything that you know how to do, but you are still barren. So what else are you going to do now that's going to change it? You've done everything that you know how to do. God says, all I need from you now is this. Sing and act like the person I say you are. That's all I want from you. And the God of the whole earth, shall he be called because of you. The word of God continues. It says, for the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused. Wait a minute. A wife of youth when thou wast refused? You mean this woman has been in this state for such a long time? Yep. But God did not forget her. God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten me. God has an agenda, and his agenda is perfect. As I saw the face of the Lord early this morning in this house, I reflected on the fact that God makes plans just as well as people make plans. But people can make plans and their plans do not come to fruition. But when God makes a plan, you can be rest assured that that plan shall be manifested. Let me say it again. When God makes a plan, there will be a manifestation. There is not going to be, oops, we did not plan for this eventuality. We did not see this coming. We did not plan for that part. And this thing that just happened now has just messed everything up. No. God knows the details from the very beginning to the end. And he doesn't plan to fail when he starts doing anything. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows exactly what he's doing every time. And I rest myself in that goodness of God. He says, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. You so scattered all over the place, but with great mercies I'm going to gather you. I'm going to put you together. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to turn your situation around and declare my great grace upon your life. In a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment. It was just for a moment. But with everlasting kindness, oh my God, a moment in contrast to everlasting, I don't know if you hear what I'm saying to you right now. God says, whatever it is that you've been going through, whatever it is that I've been going through, whatever it is that we as a church has been going through, was just for a moment. But when I bless this work, it is going to be perpetual. There will be continued increase forever in the name of Jesus Christ. Until Jesus Christ comes, there shall be no end to the increase, because God has dug deep. Taproot is gone real deep. This thing is not going to be shaken. It is established. God says, in a little wrath, I hid my face from thee. And I know about that. I remember many years ago, maybe this might be the last time I tell this story. We had just started this work. We were in a school called R.F. Morrison Elementary School in the Garden City area. They had a gym and they had a music room. And in the music room, multi-purpose room they called it, there were steps that people could sit on and stuff, and it was like a theater setting. It was perfect for us. We'd started the church, we were maybe about 3 weeks old, and we'd grown from 15 people to 70-something people. It was a perfect place. 3 weeks, we were growing at rapid speed. And I remember the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Son, I want you to move the service." He told me on a Saturday, he says, "I want you to move the service from the multi-purpose room to the gym." Now, the gym will take about 500 or so people. And so you can imagine 70 of us going into that place will be so small. But what God was saying, simply saying, is enlarge. And he says, "Do it tomorrow, Sunday." So I spoke to our leadership. We had a meeting, and I spoke to them, and I told the person who was going to help set up our sound system and everything, I said, "Please do set up in the gym tomorrow." He said, "Yes, Pastor, I'll do that." I came in on Sunday and stepped in. I was going to the gym, and I looked. The multipurpose room door is open. I looked in there. The guy who was supposed to set up in the gym, sitting up in the multipurpose room. So I said, "Brother, this is not the place you're supposed to set up. You're supposed to set up in the gym." He said, "Well, you know, I came a little bit late, and, you know, if I try to set up in there, it was going to take me too much time, and I will not be able to teach my Sunday school class, and I will make sure I do it next week." I said, "Well, it's too late to change it now." "Okay, well, just leave it alone. Let it be." So we had a service. I preached. We celebrated. Finished. I went to the door. As we do Sunday after Sunday, I greeted everybody as they left. After the last person left, I heard the Spirit of God. He said to me, "Where did you have the service today?" I said, "In here." "In here what?" "In here in the multipurpose room." "Is the multipurpose room the gym where I told you to set up?" I said, "No." And for the first time, I heard God yell. I don't want to ever experience that again. The Lord yelled at me, "Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Do you think you're the boss here? You see all these people that came in here today? They are gone. They are gone." I ran out of that place. I ran into the parking lot. I said, grabbing people, "Please pray for me." He said, "What is wrong? What is wrong?" I said, "God is angry with me. Please pray for me." He said, "Why is God?" I said, "We had the service in the wrong place. We had the service in the wrong place. Please pray for me." You thought I lost my mind. Next Sunday, we dropped from 70 to 30. The Sunday after, we dropped to 18. I never saw 70 people again. Not 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. 70 people gathered together. While I went to the nations, I had thousands of people. When I come home, I had a handful of people. So I know, in a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment. But I thank God that it was just for a moment. For he says, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. I'm making a commitment to you, child. I'm making a commitment to you that destruction shall not come your way ever again. For as I've sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be wrath with thee, nor rebuke thee. I'm not going to yell at you again, son. I'm going to be there with you. You fall flat on your face, I'm going to be there to pick you up. I will never trade that experience, as hurtful as it was, that I hurt and disappointed the Lord that day. I will never trade that experience for anything else. Because that experience put me in the straight and narrow. That experience made me know, oh no, not going there. If God says do something, that's what I'm doing. If God says don't do that, that's exactly what I'm not doing. I don't care who you are. You are not going to control the decisions I make anymore, not if God did not say it. Oh, because child of God, I tell you what, if I had not had that experience, I would be kissing all kinds of behinds. Oh, please stay. Oh, please stay. Please stay. Oh, I'm sorry. I won't say it that way. Preach like this. And we'll like it like this. Preach like this. No. I'm not preaching the way you want me to preach. You don't like it? Hit the road, Jack. Because I know one thing. You are not going to stand before God and say, oh, this pastor, he's a good pastor. You got to let him in. No, it doesn't matter whether there's 20 billion people that think that I'm the most wonderful person. If God says, he wins. So I'd rather have God say, yep, and everybody say, we don't like him. I don't care. As long as the one who matters likes me, that's all that matters. Glory be to God. The days of barrenness must cease. It says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Oh, will somebody shout hallelujah? Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, say the Lord that hath mercy on thee. You mean it's all I need is the mercy of God to change the state of my barrenness? Yes. It is not more trying. I remember many years ago, the Lord woke me up around 3 in the morning. He said to me, come downstairs, I want to talk to you. And I went downstairs and he opened my eyes and he gave me a message called The Verdict. We acted it out in this house. Some of you still remember it. It was a powerful illustrative message. It was born right there in my house. And 2-3 weeks later, we put that illustrative message out here in this house. Place was packed with people, all kinds of things happening, and we began to do illustrative messages, and people would come in and listen to the illustrative messages. This place would just be filled with people. And the Lord says, cut it off.
Stop it.
That's not how this church is going to grow. So we stopped it right away. We had a ministry called GAP. God's anointed place. Young people will come in here. We transform the banquet hall over here to a semi-night club. We serve mocktails. We had waitresses and waiters, lights flashing, videos on the screen, bands playing, and this place will be packed out. One day, the same God who gave the idea says, shut it down. Hey, we're doing good, man. There's more people coming. This is the boss place. Everybody's talking about GAP. People are coming down to the North End, to Main Street. Why would you want to shut it down? But I'd learned a lesson. When God says shut it down, you shut it down. Don't mess around with the boss. I learned it. It was because of R.F. Morrison Elementary School. I learned the lesson. Shut it down. We're not doing this no more. In Springs, picked it up. And I believe they transformed, renovated a particular facility close to the church building, and youth started pouring, young people started pouring in there, and they started doing their youth enforcement over there. We started it. God, what? Because what God does best. What God does best. What God does best. Never forget that. He is God. And he will show himself mighty and strong in our lives. Hallelujah. 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 So, child of God, I want to remind you today that God is declaring to us on this, the 27th day of January, you shall be barren no more. Sing, enlarge, increase your capacity, begin to do more, because I will march you toe by toe, step by step, and increase you on every side. You're going to burst forth. This is the year that God is going to use us to do things that we never thought possible. We are going to step into areas that we cannot imagine ourselves stepping into, because in the natural, it does not look sensible. Do you understand? It does not look sensible. You don't have enough people to do this. Why are you trying to do that? Well, enlarge. Just do. Sing. Don't be afraid. You are not going to be ashamed. Pastor, what are you saying? This is what I'm saying. You've been married. You had no children. Your husband is dead. And you wake up one morning and you go to Toys R Us and Babies R Us, and you start buying baby clothes, and you're buying a crib, you're buying everything for a baby. You're not even pregnant. Who are you buying this for? Oh, do you have a sister that's pregnant? No, this is for me. Excuse me. Have you seen your doctor recently? Why? Well, because I think something is wrong upstairs. The elevator is not going up all the way. You cannot be buying baby clothes when you are a barren woman. Especially since you don't have a husband anymore. Your husband is dead. You're buying clothes. What? What's wrong with you? What doesn't make sense to man makes all kinds of sense to God. And as God speaks to you in this new year, just obey the instruction. Just do what he's saying to do. Forget about what you think. Just remember, if God is thinking it, he's also saying it. And if he's saying it, he will bring it to pass. Do you receive this word? Then shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm going to pray for everyone here. Brother James, please go to my office and get me a bottle of oil. Find a bottle of oil. Just bring me something real quick. Those of you listening online, you've heard the word the Lord has given to me to present to you today. These are not just words for word's sake. These are instructions from God and therefore a prophetic statement to you, as it is to me. Tonight, wherever you are, and if you're watching this at some other time from the archives, I want you to know that the Word of God is true and that God, who is speaking to you right now, means business with you. He's not angry with you. He's not working in a wrathful way towards you. He said it was just for a moment. But now there is going to be an everlasting experience of his mercies, his loving kindness, and tender mercies bestowed upon you. Get yourself ready for the magnificent changes that he is bringing to pass for you this day. For this is the day the Lord God Almighty has made for you to rejoice and be glad. I look forward to seeing you again tomorrow night. But right where you are right now, I'm going to ask you to do something before I start praying for those that are here. I'm going to ask for you to find a bottle of oil. If you cannot get it right now, get it at some point. I am going to put this oil in my hand. And as I put it in my hand, I'm going to stretch it out towards you. It's going to be the point of contact. If you can, just stretch your hands towards me. It will be the point of contact for your healing, for your deliverance, for the provision of God, for the increase of God coming to you. Receive it by faith and be transformed as you begin to sing, celebrating the goodness of God. Hallelujah. My hands are stretched out to you. Let the glory of God come upon you right where you are, right this very moment. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love you.